6 feet away.
Very conveniently, you don't have to stand near anybody to listen to this podcast, although it's not discouraged.
Yeah.
No, actually, it is discouraged, because I want people to be away from each other. I want them to be on separate cell phone devices downloading us.
That's true. Okay,
so
yeah.
So get away from people when you want to listen to the
podcast. I was going to say, it depends on which state you're in, because in Michigan, they're not even allowed to plant seeds in their garden, apparently. So.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah. There's this big, you haven't seen this? This big to-do?
I saw some people with the Confederate flag. That's all the extent.
In Michigan?
Yes.
We've been looking at different news stories.
I mean, who knows what's real and what's not anymore, sadly. But like, I saw this, like, oh, that's interesting. But I didn't realize they were, you can't even go till your yard.
Yeah, the governor was talking about, well, you know, it's snowing anyway. You don't need to plant
don't
seeds.
Don't go outside, you know.
Up in the Upper Peninsula, there's snow on the ground.
The Oopers, eh?
Yeah,
the Oopers outside. Interesting. Well, at least we've got it pretty good.
Yeah.
And it seems, again, who knows? Depends on what graphs you read. It seems like we're at the plateau. We're getting close to the plateau.
Yeah.
Who knows? Whatever.
It's time to go back to life, I think.
Well.
Here in short order. At least restore the principles of federalism where you allow the states on a case-by-case basis to do so. Obviously, New York's not ready. But I feel like Texas, I feel like we're doing
Texas
okay.
Texas is pretty close.
And people can go back to work if you're healthy enough.
Yeah, that's the thing. But you don't open up too fast and then one case and then boom, it re-escalates back up.
Sure.
This all started with one person.
Yeah.
So why not? I mean, it could go very quickly.
Some jack wagon
eating a raw bat. And I was comparing, I got family in Mississippi that eats squirrels. It's not that much different.
Well, they don't fly, you know.
Well, it depends. Some from flying squirrels.
You don't eat flying squirrels.
You don't. You haven't seen my family in Mississippi. You don't know how they roll out there.
You can't catch them.
Well, you can't catch them. My family in Mississippi can. They trained their whole life for this. You're right. You cannot.
This is their Super Bowl, flying squirrel catching.
Right. It's Ole Miss football season's already over. Mike Leach is getting off recruits. They are here for flying squirrel catching. That's a new sport. I mean, I'll take anything at this point.
Dude, honestly, yeah. Give me the Ocho, please.
I saw two birds fighting yesterday. I thought I went some money down. Just on one of them. Just like somebody. Get something.
Oh, man. It's like screw cockfighting. We got just like wild bird fighting.
This is flying. It was like watching the movie that's supposed to come out, but it's not going to come out. The sequel, Top Gun.
Oh, wow.
It's like watching Top Gun.
Except with birds.
That's also a tease to a later Twitter question.
Yes,
I'm so good at interweaving this.
You are,
Billy Wessels, Clint Foster. Here we are again for the Purple Bonus Podcast. Clearly have a lot of sports to talk about.
Yes.
It's been way too long talking about this. I had something I wanted to say off the top, but then we got crazy and I forgot what it was.
We do that.
We tend to do that. Anyway, how's your week been?
It's been pretty good. Pretty good. Getting some work done where I can, and
you're doing more than just work, though. You are you're leading the charge to get the 2 seed back up into your uniform bracket.
That is the yeoman's work, other than my my paycheck work that I'm doing.
Yeah, this is way more fun.
Yeah, trying to beat the war drum to save the Bloodlines uniform from 2009.
I am befuddled by this.
Russian bots. Generation Z.
No, it's Gen Z. The kids love this helmet. The all black helmet that Kyle Hicks is rocking on our Twitter polls.
Kids today.
Kids, and I'm like, they don't think they normally win in those helmets.
No, I actually we've beaten Texas in them once.
Yeah.
And I think that's the only time we've won.
I think
it
might be like 1-2 or 1-3 in that helmet. And I get the all black look, and if you're going to go blackout, I like the helmet with that all black.
Certainly,
But I don't like the logo on the side. I don't like that horn frog.
I mean, I like the helmet, yes, and I think that is a good all black look. But and we've talked a lot about it's tough to separate the uniforms from the memories associated with the uniforms. Obviously, that 2009 Utah game was just a Donnybrook amazing moment, and. You know, there's been so much talk on Twitter about, like, you know, oh, when was the loudest you ever heard the Carter? I'm like, literally, if you haven't answered 2009 Utah, you're too young and you weren't there. Yeah. Like, that's the only explanation.
It was 09 Utah by a lot. And I pointed out the amazing thing about the Oklahoma game was the collective gasp of when Dawson had the pick six.
Oh, yes.
Like, it feels like all the air was sucked out of the arena when he picked that off.
And just
like, everyone. It wasn't the noise, it was the silence.
Yeah,
it was the absence of noise.
But then it immediately.
And then immediate eruption. But like the eruption was great, but it's that silence which you never really hear, except for now in the sports world.
Yeah. But I was going to say about those Bloodline uniforms is, first, I mean, objectively, I think they are an incredible look. And I love whenever you incorporate more purple. And there's so many great little details about it that are so wonderful. But it was so revolutionary, too. Yeah. Not only as a TCU uniform, but nothing like that had ever been done before. The closest thing would be, you know, some slightly wacky Oregon uniforms. But certainly nothing ever like, oh, we're going to try to really incorporate what the mascot looks like, mm-hmm. what the qualities are of the mascot into the helmet. We're going to incorporate like the shooting the blood out of your eyes. Like that uniform laid the groundwork for all the other uniforms in that region.
I agree. That's fair. I mean, the Rose Bowl is a classic. That's a it's a plain and classic.
Look. No, yeah.
But like you
the detail of the rose in the frog's mouth is the best.
And that's why that's why that probably win, although they'll probably lose this blackout helmet.
Yeah, who the heck knows now?
Because now we're finding out the kids who use this Twitter machine are fond of this helmet.
Apparently, yeah.
So,
it was very clear in all of the upsets in that away region, which I was getting a lot of hate for the seeding, but I was like, I did not foresee things shaking out the way that they did.
I saw the Trevon Boykin 2015 one. That won in a landslide.
Yes.
That's a 15 seed versus the 2 seed.
That's our Florida Gulf Coast.
For real. And that could go pretty far. Like, because in my personal account, I voted for that one.
Yeah.
Like, I did. I was like, oh, that's a much, I like your that burner. Better. My burner account, as I called it on Twitter, I voted for that one. So
it is a great look. And I remember, because I actually was at that Oklahoma State game in 2015, and I remember being like, oh man, these uniforms look awesome. And then immediately the season crashed and burned before my very eyes. And it's one of those things where it's like, okay, it's really hard to separate the one memory you have of the team in that uniform from just, okay, objectively, I like that face mask. You know what I mean? It's very hard. That's why it came in as a 15 for me.
I do think if for this game day one, if you had used the picture of Jerry Hughes appearing to mount the Utah quarterback from behind, that would probably be winning because, A, it's a great picture, and, B, it's associated with a win, not a loss. But maybe not. Maybe all the kids just love this helmet so much.
And I did. I commented with that picture as well as pictures of Rafael Priest, who had some issues with not being named the best number 10 of all
which
time.
I liked him reading it. I like that.
And we had one of the assistant basketball coaches.
Oh, yeah.
He retweeted it today talking about it. We got more coming.
More coming, guys. Today we're going to have 11 through 20. I guess we should say what's on today's show. We're going to talk about this bracket a little bit more. We got numbers 11 through 20 picked out that we're going to notice and get some honor to, some mentions to. A little bit of recruiting news, even though there's not a whole lot going on right now. There's still some going on right now. And then Twitter. Oh, we're going to talk the draft. The draft is next
thing. Yes, so, going to talk draft. But continuing about the bracket, I was also very surprised going back and taking a second look at all of the first round results. The throwback region, when you look at the second round, there's not a lot of actual throwback going on anymore.
Which I'm not surprised by, because again, it's the youths that are judging this.
You've had the Flying T is really the only... The Flying T and the Arch TCU from 1992 are the only true throwbacks that are still alive. And that was because they weren't facing a uniform that was worn within the 2000s. Yeah. All of the uniforms that were worn in the 2000s won.
Again, that's what most people remember. That's what I mostly remember.
Yeah.
Like I say mostly, that's when I became a TCU fan like in 2002.
I mean, for me, 1998. It's literally only been the TCU arched over the Horned Frog. You know, that is the look. And I love it. But the Flying T is also very beloved. And it's going to be interesting to see if it really does make it to the Final Four like I kind of thought it would.
I thought it would too. But I think it'll be that second one. I think it'll be the one that's a 2 seed, not the 1 seed. But either way.
Yeah, the all white.
The closest matchup we've seen so far is the seeing red in 2019, or the split blood versus LSU in 2013.
Yes, that's this the current 4-5 matchup happening right now in UT, the special
UT
region.
UT is the one against UT last year is winning 51.6 to 48.4.
And for me, I mean, like I said, I have said it till I am blue in the face. I despise those uniforms we wore against UT this past year. So I voted for spit blood.
Yeah,
and everyone
too,
should.
I think I did. I think I did too, but. You should, but you put them as the 5 seed. Actually, I forgot to write the 5 seed on there.
I put them as a 4 seed because I was taking into account so many people that like them, because I was trying to avoid a situation where someone was like, what? How is this a 16 seed? It shouldn't be a 16 seed. And because I would have been like, well, I hate it.
Yeah.
But I know that a lot of people liked it, so that's why I seeded it higher.
That probably that might have upset the Rose Bowl had it.
Yeah.
Had
oh, my God.
I mean, it still might. It's winning right now, but it's
dude,
close.
Dude, if that
it's
happens, close. I will have lost all faith in the youth of today.
And these are our future leaders. Rose Bowl's winning hands down.
Honestly, though, I mean, we lost in it, but that 2013 split blood uniform, I mean, it's very unusual, but it's got a lot of really cool details on it.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird look.
Very weird.
Because in the helmet, it's just the red line, right?
I posted a close-up picture of like the helmet and the gloves, and you can see that there's actually a kind of a purple and black kind of horn pattern that's happening on the helmet with the blood streaks going. And there's also the TCU sticker on the back that's outlined in red. I said hashtag make red subtle again because the subtle red touches are cool. Red is not one of our colors. Red is the color of blood, which is a key, you know, feature of the Horned Frog. But it's not one of our colors and shouldn't be plastered across our chests as red numbers and red on gray. Like what? No, it didn't look electric purple. Come on.
If it had been black, it would have been better. That sounds weird.
But I agree with you. If it had been black, and if it had gone with, remember we saw the original prototype where it was like purple numbers with red outlines on black? That would have looked fantastic. That would have looked really great. And I would have even been able to forgive the electric purple helmet if you just take away that much more of the red. That's my opinion.
I agree. Because again, the colors aren't red. It's purple.
We had one person who I can only assume is an old head I saw commented on Twitter like, last time I checked, our colors were purple and white. Like, what's all this about?
And those colors don't run.
Well, they did for a few decades there.
They did for a little bit. We're not going to talk about the pro combo ones. No, I mean, I think they're... Do you like the BYU look from 2010?
Oh, I love that look.
You like that
look? That's one of my favorites of all time, is that look.
Those two are so close. Really, the only difference
is the jersey.
It's black or purple. I like the purple a little bit better. But
yeah, the purple look specifically that we wore against BYU is in my top five uniforms of all time. For TCU, yeah, I would say.
Okay, what are your top five uniforms of all time?
Well, having not thought about them at all, actually.
You made this bracket. You found 64 uniforms.
Yes. Well, it's probably Rose Bowl number one, just shooting off the cuff.
Game day two.
Probably game day two, but I mean, I really love the new away uniforms that we wear.
Really?
Yeah, a lot.
I like them. I don't like them that much.
I love them, man.
Apparently.
The new Stormtrooper and the one we wore against OU are both so good to me. The Flying Tee is a classic look. I don't know. I'd have to think about it, truly, to come up with my top five.
You got 64 of them.
Yes.
You think you would just take the one in each seed and then a two, but...
Well, yeah. But I was also trying to be very judicious in my seeding, you know. Twitter may disagree, but I tried to give it a lot of thought as to not only what do I personally like, but what do I think is a crowd pleaser. Obviously, I kind of missed with the black helmet.
You missed on the black helmet. And you missed on the
chrome face mask.
The 2015, apparently. But that's what America's about. Electing, voting. Get out and vote, people.
That's why we wanted to do this, because I was like, I want to see what people do like and what they do think, and we're finding that out.
I agree. It's a fun experiment nonetheless. And we got nothing else to talk about right now.
Yeah. So,
that's why now we're going to look back in TCU history and talk about the best athletes to wear jersey numbers 11 through 20.
Da, 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 da. We continue.
Yeah. So, 1 through 10 got some love from Coach Miller.
Yeah.
As you pointed out, gave that a retweet, gave that a like. So,
yeah. Just to give you a recap, folks, in case you missed last week's show for whatever reason.
It should be on-demand listening. It should be the second it plops in your feed, you listen, but fine.
But just your 0 through 10, just really quick. It was Kevin Crone, Desmond Bain, Trey Boykin, Corey Santee, Casey Paha, LaDainian Tomlinson, Bart Johnson, Royce Huffman, Davey O'Brien, Josh Doxson, and sorry, Coach Priest, Vlad Brodzianski.
I think it's between those two, but Vlad was just so symbolic with the best era in basketball history.
Yeah, I agree. And he had a dirty hook shot, man. He really did. He was a little bit Lou Alcindor-esque. Yeah.
No, it's true. He was the Slovakian, as I started to call him.
Yeah, the Slovakian.
The Slovakian had a whole bunch of
blocks. I liked Slovakian.
Slovakian, I like it a little better. Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. They're both good. Whichever one I came up with was a Slovakian I'm going to lead with, but it's fine. So today we're on to number 11. And this also features a good debate between a much older football player and a much more recent basketball player.
Yes. So a couple of your honorable mentions before we get into those top two. We got Kent Nix, one of a myriad of Nixes who played for TCU and had a big impact. Drew Coleman, who was a favorite cornerback of mine back in the day, back in the early 2000s, played for the Jets for a little while, as I recall. Sonny Gibbs, big-time quarterback for the Frogs, actually featured in our uniform bracket. He was on the cover of that Texas football magazine that we posted. Yeah. Fun fact about Sonny Gibbs, he was on the cockroach team that Daryl Royal talked about that beat number one Texas like 7-6.
Wasn't he like 6'8 or something like that?
He was freakishly tall, yes. And he hit Buddy Iles for the only touchdown of the game. And it was a long touchdown pass. And that was the whole deal where Daryl Royal said, you know, TCU, they're like cockroaches. It's not what they carry off with them. It's what they fall into and screw up. You know. So, hey, we'll take it.
We'll take it.
Exactly. Ranthony Tejada. Another number 11, really great one.
And then I added one to this list because I'm trying to show love to the smaller sports. Lizzie Caroli, a former classmate of mine, was when she finished her career in 2009 at women's soccer, she was the all-time leading goal scorer. She's since been passed, but she was all-time leading goal scorer for a while. So she deserves some love, too. She was number 11.
There you go. So our top two are Brandon Parrish and Max Naki, both beloved, and I love Brandon Parrish, but I had to go with Max Naki on this one.
And I'll go Brandon Parrish because he was the face of the school for a couple years. Not he just was. The basketball team. He was on every commercial that you saw.
He's still on a lot of commercials.
He still is, as he should be. He's like saving iguanas or whatever he's doing now. He's an amazing guy. He's also a friend of the podcast. He's been on the show before.
Yes.
And so a great kid. I know he offered, I don't know if he actually ended up happening between Jeff Craig, who was going to take his family on a tour of the zoo. I know they at least communicated about it. I don't know if it actually happened or not. But Parrish, I think because he was one of these stars, again, you're going to point out something about his role on that team, but he was still the face of the school, one of the stars of the best era in TCU basketball history, at least the last 20 plus years.
Oh, and that moment of him losing it at the end of the NIT championship, I mean, that should have been in the Frogs of War bracket. I don't know how it wasn't, because that was such a cool moment.
I think it was. Was it not?
No. I don't remember it being in there.
I think it might have been because I think they went with Josh Parrish's dunk at the end.
That's what they went with, Josh Parrish's dunk.
But that kind of all encompasses it.
That's true.
That moment.
That's true. But yeah, that such an awesome moment. And I love Brandon Parrish. Don't know him personally, but loved him as a player. He certainly seems like it. Yeah. But at the end of the day, Brandon Parrish was a sixth man on that team. And Max Naki was the quarterback for a co-Southwest Conference championship team. That was the first Southwest Conference championship the Frogs had won since 1959 in 1994. He took the Frogs to the Independence Bowl, which they hadn't been to a bowl game since 1958.
How did he do in that bowl game?
Lost to Virginia because he stayed out all night the night before. But he also held a lot of passing records for the Frogs here until these last, you know, this recent decade or so with the Pajas and the Boykins and the Daltons. He could sling it for the Frogs back in the mid-90s and was really the only reason, well, not the only reason, but a huge reason why the Frogs were competitive at all in the mid-90s. So that's why I give it to Max Naki.
I mean, and that's fine. But I think when I post this on the website this weekend, like I'm going to put Brandon Parrish as number 11.
Okay, because your name will be as the byline.
My name will be on it. And also because people, the kids know Brandon Parrish. You get more likes through tweets when you put people the kids know. People don't know. You said Max. I was like, I know that name. I don't remember why. I was like, I know he was a quarterback at some point in TCU history. But
we need to get more old people listening to this show. No, where's my grandpa at?
Get the boomers in here.
Yeah.
But Parrish, I guess for his career, he averaged like 6.5-7 points a game, maybe a little bit more, because his highest game average was 8.7 in his junior year. So I don't know. He wasn't like, I guess looking back, I remember him more fondly than I guess the stats would say.
Yeah.
He was more important than
just
the
stats.
Well,
he's really, Brandon Parrish is kind of the face of bridging the gap between the basketball futility and basketball's climb into relevance. Yeah. In the same way, Max Naki was kind of bridging that gap between complete futility and awfulness in football and semi-decency. You know, although in his senior year, we only won one game.
So. I feel like that came the next year, like the next group after him.
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely. TCU's rise began in 98 with the Sun Bowl and turning around, because in 97 we won one game against SMU at the end of the year, tore down the goalpost, and then the very next year with Francione, you win six games, you go to the Sun Bowl, you beat USC. That's when the rebirth actually begins. But Max Naki was a very productive player those 4 years before. Again, won a share of the Southwest Conference title 1 year before they kicked us to the curb.
Yeah.
You know, and he held a lot of passing records. I mean, I can read some of the numbers right now.
No, you don't have
to. please don't. Parker Fleming is not here. We do not need any numbers.
We need all the numbers. We don't need to totally nerd out on this. Number 12.
Number 12, okay. A lot of great honorable mentions here as well. Max Naki's predecessor, Leon Clay, who was actually a freshman kind of phenom back in the late 80s for TCU and was the quarterback of that team that beat Texas in 92. Roger Williams. You may know Roger Williams. He was a baseball player for TCU. Now he owns a lot of car dealerships. I think he might have gone into politics, actually. But he was a good baseball player with TCU. Some other baseball players appearing. Riley Farrell. Taylor Featherston, both T-Bird. Good number 12s.
I always called him T-Bird.
Yes.
The name Feather.
Yeah.
He had a cup of coffee with the Angels for a while in the majors, I think.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. I think that's right. Jeff Gladney definitely deserves consideration as one of the best 12s of all time.
You're right. He deserves to be second on this list, but it's close because the guy who's number one is one of the best players in TCU baseball history. Is that... That might be a bit aggressive. Is he the highest draft pick TCU baseball history?
He might be. He might be. I would have to look back at the numbers. But it's Nick Lodolo. He's your best 12 of all time, I think. You know, TCU always, every year that TCU is good in baseball, and even years when they're just competitive, they've always got that ace. And Nick Lodolo was that guy for TCU. Definitely throughout his career, and he was a really high draft pick when he came to college.
Yeah,
he was
a first round pick. He's the only first round pick ever to... It might have changed since then, but now he was the first round pick to not go pro
in
college.
So. It worked out for us.
Yeah, because he was the 41st overall pick, but it was like one of the picks that was
compensatory
picks for the Pirates, and they offered him $1.7 million coming out of high school, and then he said, "Nah, forget that. I'm gonna go be a part of TCU," and then he got picked.
I'm gonna go seventh, be rich in life.
Yeah, seventh overall with the Reds for $5.4 million.
Yeah, that worked out.
And he was regarded as the number one pitching prospect in the majors. So,
yeah, and he's the number one, number 12 for you there.
I agree. I think it's fair. As great as Gladney is, and we'll talk later about where we think he winds up in the NFL, we think he'll get paid more handsomely.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And then Lodolo
and hopefully have a really productive pro career.
Yeah.
But
maybe with a star on his helmet.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love that, man. I'd love that a lot.
But Lodolo, I think the Reds are going to be interesting in the next couple of years. They're young and interesting.
Yeah.
So maybe Lodolo can factor in a couple of years if baseball comes back soon.
Young and interesting, like all these people voting for black helmets over the bloodlines. Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Okay, number 13. So much shorter honorable mention list here.
I think people are still don't want to wear 13.
Yeah, you think it's unlucky to people?
For some, most people, yeah.
Yeah, well, worked out for Kurt Warner and and the people that I'm about to mention.
Yeah,
Adrian Madice was a really good 13 for TCU in the early 2000s, wide receiver who played in the pros as a journeyman, I think, for a short while.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, Tyler Alexander, another baseball player, certainly a good number 13.
Does he still bounce around with the Tigers or whatever?
I couldn't tell you. Okay. Couldn't tell you, but I think he is. I think he's somewhere.
He's been in the majors, I believe, yeah.
Yeah. Ad Dietzel, another old guy, another old head. But for me, the best number 13 of all time, and particularly on the shoulders of his spectacular 2009 season, is Antoine Hicks.
Yeah, fair. Sadly, it's a short list competition, but Hicks was very I don't know if underappreciated is the right word, but I feel like he's a guy that people don't look back on and think, oh, yeah, he was awesome.
I think underappreciated is the right word.
You think so?
Because... Was 2010 his senior year? I think 2010 was his senior year, and he wasn't as productive. And I think people remember, I know that a couple of my friends feel this way, you forget about just how amazing he was that whole 2009 season because you think to the Fiesta Bowl and that pass that he couldn't get. One pass that he couldn't get. You know, kind of like we talk about Pro Wells a lot, like, oh man, that one pass he dropped against Baylor when he had an amazing season. You know, but it's that one that sticks out in your mind that ended up being the death knell for that Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah, 2009 he broke through. 2011 was his senior year.
Oh, 2011.
He was third on the team with 33 catches and 347 yards his senior year. honorable mention all Mountain West.
Yeah. Well, there you go. But
in 09, he had 10 touchdowns on 32 catches.
Yes. Yeah. And one of the ones that stands out in my mind is that one against Clemson in the rain when he bobbled it and somehow came down with it there right by the goal line. I mean, he had a nuts season in 2009.
No, he's 2010, played in 12. He only started three games in 2010. So he's the only guy that really shined early. And then, he had three touchdowns in 2010 after getting 10 in 2009. So, yeah, interesting.
Perfect.
Weird. I'd say it's weird to see a sophomore have their best year. Then I was, oh yeah, Jalen Reagor did that.
Wah, wah, wah.
14 was actually good. Like for number 14, a lot of good players wore 14.
Yeah, a lot of really like
the winner's old-timers. Obvious, but
yeah. Well, you know, the winner's obviously David Porter, right?
Right.
My birthday brother over here, both December 21st, guy from DeSoto. Matt Carpenter was a 14.
Yep.
Obviously. He's amazing. Yep. Aaron Schobel, another Sun Bowl champion and longtime Buffalo Bill. But come on.
It's Andy Dalton,
of course.
Showing off his arm amongst his future New England Patriots teammates yesterday.
Yes.
Throwing the football with his kids. They're about the size of Patriots wide receivers.
I saw somebody else said they look like the Bengals offensive line.
Yeah. Either one. Can't wait to see where he ends up next year. I think he makes sense in a lot of places.
Oh, yeah. And another dude who's not only an incredible player, but an incredible guy.
Incredible guy.
Such a good guy.
He still knows my name, which blows my mind whenever I see him. Hey, Billy, you still know my name?
I haven't gotten to see him in a long time. I
saw him last year right before the spring game. He was out there. They had just announced their pregnancy, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So about this time last year, they have a newborn, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Relatively newborn.
Yeah, because I think they had just announced it, and they were like, "Oh, hey, congrats!" Because, oh yeah, thanks, man. So I mean, it was cool. So I saw him about a year ago this time. So he's, I mean, great guy, incredible guy.
Yeah, I used to love my first 2 years as a manager. I would like run to spot the ball in the middle of team drills, and then whenever Andy was done with his play, he would make sure to like run out, grab the ball from whoever the receiver was, and then throw a pass to me. And I'd like run around, and then he'd be like, touchdown. He'd like signal touchdown or whatever. Yeah. Then I'd run back to spot the ball. You know, that was something that I just loved doing.
He's another guy that could be considered face of the school and still doing the right thing in the NFL. Hopefully he's either starting in New England or starting in Cincinnati while they groom what's his face, and then maybe he's backing up to try and get a ring with the Saints this year. Who knows?
Hey,
I wouldn't blame him to go that route either,
dude. If Andy gets a ring, I'm all for it.
You can make $10 million a year to be the backup.
Yeah,
don't get hit.
That's the life,
and
man.
Possibly get a chance to come in. Who knows?
That is the life.
Yeah,
and definitely Andy's another guy who people talk about who's your Mount Rushmore. I mean, he's got an argument to be.
Oh yeah, I think he's on pretty much everybody's.
Yeah,
it's LT.
LT, oh, Coach P.
If it's just players, it's LT, O'Brien,
Baugh,
and then it's either Dalton or Boykin for most people.
Yeah.
I think the last couple years have shown that Dalton.
I don't know. I might sneak Bob Lilly in there, though, too. Bob Lilly's another really good one.
Okay. Who are you taking off?
Well, over Andy.
Really?
I mean, maybe. I mean, that's just a passing thought.
It's a debate.
Yeah, it's a debate.
It's a debate to have. But either way, Dalton is a top five football player in school history.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, without a doubt. And easily the number 14.
Easily number 14.
All right.
15's a little more interesting.
Yes, we got another one with a little bit of slight disagreement because of one of Billy's...
one of my boys.
One of your loves.
Man crush.
Your man crushes, yes. Well, someday it's going to be Max Duggan. Let's just get that out of the way.
Yeah, hopefully in 2 years. Hopefully, or 3 years, rather. We're talking about Duggan.
It's like going to be Heisman Trophy winner, national champion,
like we just Max Duggan. Like we just waxed poetic about Dalton. We're waxing poetic about Duggan. So yes. Hopefully in 3 years this list changes.
Yeah, so a few guys on honorable mention. I think Cam Eccles-Looper is worth an honorable
mention.
Won the Kansas game for us in 2014.
Yeah, single-handedly.
Yes.
Pretty much.
J.D. Miller. Yeah. Talking again about that NIT championship team, Ty Gunn was a real – he was an often injured guy, but when he was playing, he was really dang good at quarterback for the Frogs, won against Oklahoma in 2005.
He gave me one of the best quotes I've ever heard in my entire life. I cannot repeat it on the podcast. I will tell you off air later.
Yes. I recall you telling me
this. Have I told you this on the air? Okay.
At Cincinnati, right?
At Cincinnati, yes. Yep.
People ask Billy about this story off air. And then we come down to our top two. So we have Ben Banigou and Durbin Feltman.
Yeah. And I love Banigou more than almost everyone except for Kenny Hustle and Garrett Wallow. But he
you're no longer my number three.
Yeah. But Banigou, he was only here for 2 years. It wasn't that long.
He was a beast.
He was a monster for 2 years. Yeah. I get it, but I'm saying, like, I still remember watching his first spring game because he had to sit out the year after transferring from ULM. So he got to play in the spring game after sitting out. I watch him and go, oh, that guy's good. Like the first snap in a spring game, you can't really see a whole lot. Oh, that guy's good. Mm-hmm. And he was dominant after that. So Banigou was a force. Again, another guy who is a face of a program type guy, just an all-around great human being of a man. So it's hard to go against him. But again, 2 years versus – was Durbin Feldman here all three – he was here 3 years or 4 years?
I think he was here 3 years. And that's who I gave it to, is Durbin Feldman. Dude was an absolute – animal at closer. I mean, he was one of those guys where he's trotting out and you're like, oh, we've got this. Game over. Yeah, game over. It's done.
But he's also got one of those images that is a lasting image for TCU fans.
The thumbs down
at A&M is
so
wonderful. Is a lasting memory for fans. And I think that puts you up there with, all right, well, he belongs on this kind of list.
And I believe one of the moments that's still alive in the Elite Eight for the Frogs of War tournament
pretty sure it is.
What a great moment. And just, I mean, you just love absolutely owning A&M in that way year after year, and then just that's just the icing on the cake.
Yeah,
that thumbs down.
He played 3 years, had a .74 ERA his junior year, allowed two runs the entire season.
That's so awesome.
24 innings of work.
Just an animal, just a beast.
So he was a monster. So tied the TCU career record for saves with a 32nd of his career. Oh, yeah, so his final game. Well, I was reading his stats. He did appear in that Big 12 championship game against Baylor that TCU lost. Had they ended up winning the game, they would have snuck into the tournament despite not being one of their better teams.
Yeah. So. Okay, number 16 now. Another quarterback from your era, Jeff Ballard.
Now, he gave me a quote that I hate, but I can repeat this one.
Ballard magic.
He said, I was like, man, I've probably asked a dumb question because I just have that Jeff Ballard magic. It's like, no, you didn't. I think it was after one of the BYU games, maybe. But he called himself.
Probably.
He called himself, he said he had, quote unquote, Jeff Ballard magic.
Dude, as a kid, as a young teenager, I loved Jeff Ballard.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he came in out of nowhere. For those of you who don't remember the 2005 football season, Ty Gunn had gotten injured, and we're down, I mean, we were down huge to BYU. It was the first time we were in the Mountain West. We're coming in with a 2-1 record. Mm-hmm. We'd beaten Oklahoma and Utah in overtime on a controversial play, and we'd lost to SMU. And this BYU game, we were down multiple touchdowns. Ty Gunn gets injured, out trots Jeff Ballard, third string quarterback, and we're like, oh god, we're screwed. I remember I was watching it with my grandpa, and he used to tape all the games. He's like, I'm turning this off. He like turned off the tape, and then we were like, oh my god, as things started to turn around, we're like, don't record it. And we came back and ended up winning in overtime on another very controversial Corey Rogers touchdown where fumbles as he's crossing the goal line. But yeah, Jeff Ballard went on to be an incredibly productive quarterback for TCU for the next 2 years.
Something like that. So I feel like it was after, because I was not at that BYU game, but it was after the next year, the year after, I don't remember, but he gave me that one.
He did have a little bit of magic.
No, he 100% did. Again, GP goes back to him as an example of a quarterback that got benched every Tuesday and then won the game on Saturday. He mentions him quite often still.
I've said it. If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. TCU is backup quarterback you, man. We have the best backup quarterbacks coming out of nowhere.
Was Marcus Jackson his backup?
Yes, in 2006. Brandon Hassel was a backup.
Yeah.
Bram Kohlhausen was a backup. There's another one going further down this list, and I don't think that we'll actually get to him today. Oh, yeah, well, and Grayson Muehlstein.
That's spoiler next.
Yeah.
That's the next one. Next time,
but we still got some honorable mentions for 16 to get through. Yeah. Connor Wanhanen was a 16, another great one. Ronald Fraley. A lot of people don't know Ronald Fraley. He was a defensive back in the early 50s for the Frogs, and I don't know if he still is, but for a long time he was the all-time interceptions leader for TCU. He had 18 interceptions.
He might be, but Ardarius Washington's going to break it.
Oh, yeah. If he still is, Ardarius is coming for your record, Ronald Fraley. But he's a good one for sure. But I think your all-time 16, it's got to be Brian Holiday.
I agree. Loved him. Had one of the best at-bats I've ever seen in my entire life. It was double digits. I feel like it was 16 pitches against San Diego State. It wasn't against, what's his face, Steven Strasburg.
Yeah.
But it was their number 2 and number 3 that year. He had like a 16-pitch at-bat. I saw him at Fuzzy's like 2 hours after that game and talked to him about it. He goes, yeah, it was crazy. I just kept backing away. It's like, fair enough. Good job, man.
Yeah, so, fair enough.
So, yeah, Holiday, another great guy.
He had a short stay in the majors. I don't think he's still.
He's with the either Marlins or Tigers.
Right? He was with the Rangers for a hot second that I hot loved.
Yeah. Very hot second. But yeah. He's either with the Marlins or the Tigers right now because I follow him on various social medias.
Yeah. So. For those of you who don't remember, Brian Holiday, catcher on that first College World Series team, the first of a long line of really great catchers.
Yep. Oh, this is for Schlossnagel. Catcher you, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, really. It has.
Kind of has, so.
For sure. So, 17 now. And yes, yeah. Grayson Mühlstein gets an honorable mention.
He's undefeated, never lost.
He's undefeated, never lost as a starter at TCU.
Or, like, any game he appeared in. There's 6-0 all time in games he played or 7-0.
Yeah. We got a lot of 17s, actually. Yeah. Mike Reeder's another one. Friend of mine and my family's. He's a Lou Groza Award winner. Was a really great kicker at TCU in the late 90s. Those Max Naki years. Tyler Luttrell. Another great guy. Him and his dad both belong on various places on this list. And Luttrell, good Weatherford kid. Awesome player.
Friend of the podcast.
Friend of the podcast. That, you know, we've talked ad nauseum about that 2009 Utah game. He had that just bone-crushing hit.
Laid the woodshed or whatever.
That, like, whack! Knocked himself out.
Whack! Yeah, yeah, yeah. One time there was a practice that, again, the media, quote-unquote, wasn't allowed to watch, but they put us in the building where we can kind of see a little bit. And so it was me, Jeremy, and Luttrell, Tyler Luttrell, talking for a while about practice and how things are going. So he's a great guy. This is a couple years ago.
Awesome dude. Chad Huffman belongs on honorable mention. Yep. One of my absolute favorites growing up, Corey Rogers. Yep. I loved Corey Rogers. He was the Corey Rogers. Yep. Clap, clap, clap.
He got me in trouble with GP one time.
You got to tell that story.
Haven't I told you this story?
I don't know if you have.
This story. So
he got himself in trouble.
It's related to that. It's related to that, right? So so I am a sophomore for the SCIF.
Tell the story, but you have told me this.
So Corey Rogers got in trouble for what, shooting a gun straight into the air.
Yes.
So stupid. But someone else at the SCIF wrote the story about it. I happen to be the first person GP saw after that story got published.
Right.
From the SCIF. So I didn't write it, someone else wrote it. I asked him a question about freshman quarterbacks, cornerbacks. Was it Nick Sanders and Rafael Preece came in together? Is that who it was?
Yes.
I was asking about them because they were the true freshmen. Issues at cornerback. You're like, this is before their freshman season started. And then he went out, and then GP proceeded to go on like a 3-minute diatribe. You can hear if you listen
as to Coach P does.
Yeah, about how like how bad the reporting was and all stuff. It's kind of become commonplace now in the world about stuff of this, that, and the other thing. And don't say this, don't say that.
But fake news.
You can hear in the background of the clip, which they used to. They don't still do this because that professor is gone. They play it for introductory journalism classes at TCU. They play the clip of me getting chewed out.
Yeah, oh, really?
Yes. You can hear in the background Marshall Newhouse laughing at me, just hilarious. But then he goes, all right, so what do you need? He got it all off his chest and then flipped the switch. All right, what do you need? And then we talked about the corners. It was very, very, it was weird. It was the weirdest moment of my professional life. I was like, this is the first time I've ever interviewed you.
Yeah.
And so like 2 or 3 years ago, him, it was after practice and we were waiting on something. But it was like me, him, Jeremy. I made a couple of media people. I go, do you remember this? And I told him that story. He goes, I don't remember specifically, but will you agree that you're a better writer now than you were then? I go, I agree. And he goes, and I'm a better coach now than I was then too. So we've all improved. So and
I love
we had a discussion. I love him. He's the best. But yeah, that's one of my favorite. That's my favorite GP story.
Yeah, that's a good story. I think I've reconsidered my pick for 17.
I changed your mind.
I think you did.
Yes.
Yeah. I was going to give it to Sam Carter, who I think there's an argument that Sam Carter is the best strong safety that ever played at TCU.
Yeah.
And another amazing guy, being really successful as a coach now. But, gosh, you talk about moments, iconic moments.
Yeah.
Matt Curry is your Matt best Curry. 17 of
Matt
all time.
Matt Curry, I tried to tell you.
On the back biggest, of one Grand Slam.
The biggest hit in school history. You can argue the home run against Texas.
The ding earned around the world.
Yes, but the Grand Slam against Florida State in the College World Series facing elimination. Was it facing elimination or was it the first game?
I can't remember. Golly, I can't remember.
I think it was the first game because then they went
We lost to UCLA twice.
They lost UCLA and then beat Florida State again in the loser's bracket and steamrolled them.
Yes, yes. And, so it was the first game.
Then they
yes.
lost UCLA game, which, by the way, those games were started by Trevor Bauer and Garrett Cole. So
is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I remember watching them. I remember watching those games, and it was like, oh, this pitcher's really, really good. He's going to have a great career.
Yeah.
And I remember them talking a lot about the pitchers, but you know, now that time has passed time in the minors has happened,
their one and twos are Trevor Bauer and Garrett Cole.
Wow. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Not right? a lot of shave in that.
No. So, but Matt Curry, I have a fun Matt Curry story also. So he went to Red Oak. I went to Waxahachie.
Mm-hmm.
We're roughly the same age. I think I'm a year older. There was like a fall ball league for like a small, like a really small, like YMCA type league. He was just getting his hacks in basically because he was a star. I had always played first base. The only position I had ever played ever growing up.
Mm.
That year I played second base because Matt Curry, me and Matt Curry on the same team for like 2 weeks or whatever. And he's like, I don't need to do this anymore. I'm going to go play with my big boys. So I played second base for a hot minute because I'm the same team as Matt Curry.
Well, we got more baseball players coming at you the next couple numbers here. Number 18. Your honorable mentions. You got Ryan Christian deserves some mention. Another awesome, awesome dude. Yep. Alito guy. He was our starting running back in 2007. Can you believe that? Because Joseph Turner was hurt. I remember in that Texas game in 2007 going down there for that game and, you know, being really hyped and just then looking at our offense as we came out, I was like, oh, God. Like, what's going to happen today?
Yep.
Nick Orr, I think. Deserves some consideration as 18.
Nicole was great.
Yeah.
Man, I was so happy. No, it wasn't. Who was the – Dez White. It wasn't – they were teammates at DeSoto.
Oh.
But Dez White had the crazy Alamo Bowl game.
Yes.
Where he had three different – touchdowns three different ways.
He was a number 10, yeah?
I think. Yeah, he was a number 10. We should have given him a shout-out last
year. Yeah, we should have given him a shout-out.
But the thing – like, I was so happy in the Alamo Bowl when he finally threw a touchdown. He threw a touchdown, caught a touchdown, had a punt return touchdown against Stanford, I think.
Yeah.
Back to your list.
Yeah.
But Nick was great.
Another honorable mention, Ben Boswell, who was an offensive tackle wearing 18. This was back in the early 1930s.
That's how you know you're good.
Yeah, for sure. But he was the captain on a team that went 10-0-1. Mm-hmm. In the early 30s for Dutch Meyer. He was also All Southwest Conference twice, so he deserves some honorable mention in here for sure. Also, Curtis Fuller, another safety in the early 2000s, deserves some mention. But we've been talking about aces a lot in this episode. Yeah. Preston Morrison. Pimo is your number 18.
He's, again, he probably... Him or Lodola, who if you had to pick one to start a game.
Dude, oh man. Probably like Preston Morrison,
like,
yeah.
100% I think Pimo. Not 100%, but it seemed like Lodolo, when he wasn't on, he wasn't on.
Yeah.
But he was on most of the time.
But when was Preston Morrison not on?
Preston Morrison was never off.
Dude had some of the best location, I think, of any
the thing,
because
he had no cheese.
Yeah.
He topped at like 88 or whatever.
He was like your Colby Lewis in his prime,
yeah,
but not as fat.
Well, no. But no, I mean, it's like... Is Jamie Moyer a mean comparison? I don't know. I think it's because he just didn't throw hard.
Yeah, well, and the ball was never not exactly where he wanted it to be. He was the one who had the 88 complete game shutout, yes? Yeah. Or 88 pitch.
88 pitch complete game.
Complete game shutout.
Yeah, he had, in 2014, he had a 1.32 ERA.
Yeah, that's pretty dang
good.
He
was only 9-4 because the offense was terrible.
Man, that's a crime, man.
That is a crime.
It's unfortunate.
He got a save his freshman year. Do you know that?
Really?
Yeah, apparently. But his senior year went 12-3, 2.5 ERA. How many Ks? Where are the Ks at? Oh, strikeouts. 91 strikeouts in 122 innings. Again, he was not an overwhelming power pitcher, but boy, he was just control.
Yeah,
100%. He had how many career walks did he allow? 73 walks in 471 innings. It's pretty low.
Yeah,
that's one every like five or six innings. That's like one walk a start. That'll play.
Yeah,
that'll play. Yeah, no, I think there's your. If we were to pick a game to start, we'd pick Pimo. He was the All Decade team for Big 12 for Baseball America.
Shoot, he should have been. I don't know.
He was. I'm pretty sure he was.
Was he our pitcher the first time we beat A&M in the Supers? He was first or second time, I know.
He's on the team from 12, 13, 14, and 15.
Okay, yeah. So probably the first two times.
One of those times.
First two times, yeah. Man. Okay, ready to move on to 19?
Yeah.
All right.
This is fun. We're spending a lot of time on this, but I think this is fun.
It's so fun, and it gives us a chance to recount stories and memories.
I've been going on stories now.
Yeah, it's awesome. Hopefully it's a good listen.
Yeah. I think people are enjoying this. Yeah. If they enjoy my voice, they're enjoying this.
Yeah. So your honorable mention 19s. Michael DePriest, I thought, was a really great one back in the day. Wide receiver. This is like mid-2000s. Matt Schobel.
Yep.
The Schobel brothers are well-documented at TCU. Matt was a tight end. Mm-hmm. Went on to play for the Bengals for a number of years. Patrick Bateau.
Bateau. I love that name.
Quarterback of the Sun Bowl championship team. Former wide receiver that became a quarterback in Franchione's triple Tannehill, option.
Basically.
Yes, basically. Frank Horak deserves some honorable mention. He was an All-Southwest Conference safety for the Frogs in the 60s. Had a lot of interceptions to his credit. But come on.
But this is an easy one.
Your best 19 of all time, it's Luke and Baker. Luke and Baker. 100%.
Thor himself.
Yes.
It's very sad he had some injury issues. We didn't get to see his full potential. Mm. People forget that he was a pitcher his freshman year, too.
I know.
imagine what he could have done.
What
he could have been. Because he was the number one player in the country. Coming out of high school and came here and
just an absolute beast.
Yep, and he was a pitcher and a hitter, and he was supposed to be
Good at both.
Oh, he was great at both.
Yeah,
I'm trying to find his pitching stats, but he ended the pitching early in his first year because he had like a tweak somewhere. He said, "I'm done pitching."
The crime of all crimes is that we couldn't close the deal and win the national championship that year. The year that he hit that home run, yes, the freaking Coastal Carolina. Usually you love to see those Cinderellas, but it's like, no, not when it's our turn to win.
Not when we're the the queen or whatever.
Yes.
He had a .379 batting average, which led the Big 12 in his freshman year. Where is pitching stats? Yeah, he was ridiculous. That's all you need to know.
He was ridiculous.
That's all you need to know about Luke and Baker.
If you don't remember, then go watch some tape.
Now you know.
When I was working at Riata briefly, I met him one time. Okay. He was there with his girlfriend. I was like, Luke and Baker. I was like, you're awesome. I can't remember. I just stopped by. I was like, hey, man, you're awesome or something like that.
Freshman year, started 10 games, went 3-1 with a 1.7 ERA.
God. As a freshman. Man. And of course, it's well documented. His junior season is well documented. His junior season was the last season, right?
So he played every game his freshman year. That was the Coastal Carolina year.
Yes.
And then junior, which one was the Oklahoma broke
his arm? Freshman year was the Coastal Carolina year?
Yeah, I think so.
Man. Wow. For some reason, I guess it's just because he's so gigantic. Yeah. I remembered him being older, but I guess
17,
not.
17 and 18, he didn't play the full year. Maybe 17 he did, they just didn't play as many games that year.
Oh, yeah, because there was one year that he was injured for the College World Series.
He broke his arm against Oklahoma.
Yes, you're right. Because that whole College World Series, I was like, gosh, we freaking had Luke and Baker here, on the field because he was sitting in the dugout. Man, rough stuff.
Sad day.
But definitely your best 19, no doubt about it.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, ready to bring it home?
Bring it on home now.
All right, bring it on home with number 20. A lot of honorable mentions here for your number 20. You got Deontay Gray. Definitely deserves some.
Scored touchdowns his first two career touches, I believe, is his stat.
Yes.
He had two punt returns against Grambling.
Yes.
Or a punt and a kick return against Grambling, something like that.
Yep, we're in that what is currently our 8th seed losing to the Rose Bowl.
But yes.
Those uniforms.
Yes.
But yeah, I remember that because that was my senior year, and I was like, oh my gosh, this kid is fixing to be crazy good. Yep. A few others we have here. Dennis Nutt, who was a basketball player for TCU, very productive. Actually, Houston Nutt's brother.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, for those of you that, if you don't know, now you know. A couple of older guys, Greg Walls, Scott Atchison, Tony Edmond, names that mean nothing to you young heads listening. Nick Sanders absolutely deserves honorable mention.
Sanders is great.
So just as Raphael Priest was upset that he was not the best 10 of all time, Nick Sanders also gets honorable mention.
This is his second shout out of the podcast.
Yes. For me, though, the best 20 of all time, it's got to go to Jack Spikes. And this is a perfect full circle moment. We talked about how Max Naki took the Frogs to a bowl game for the first time since the late 50s and won a share of the conference title for the first time since the late 50s. Well, the star of those teams in the late 50s was Jack Spikes. He was a great running back. He took TCU to the Cotton Bowl as an All-Southwest Conference guy. Played to a 0-0 tie with Air Force, if you can imagine that. And then, so they were outright conference champions in 1958. That was the last time they were outright conference champions until the Frogs won outright in the Mountain West in 2005. And then the next year, they got a share of the conference title in 59, and Spikes took them to the Blue Bonnet Bowl. So this was, you're talking about the last truly great TCU teams for multiple decades. Jack Spikes was the star of those teams, and he was an All-American as a senior.
No arguments here. I mean, I loved Deontay Gray and what Nick Sanders did, but I don't remember anything about Jack Spikes until you told me before the show. But I was like, I can't argue with that production.
He's got the skins on the wall. And he went on to be drafted by the Dallas Texans.
Yes.
Who, you're defending Super Bowl champion, yeah, the Dallas Texans.
Kansas City Chiefs, yes. Most people don't remember that. It's weird.
Lamar Hunt is from Dallas. Played for SMU, if I recall correctly.
Lamar Hunt?
Yeah, who was the owner of the Chiefs. Oh, yeah. And the AFC Championship trophy is named after him.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I'm doing a little.
The more you know.
I was doing a little breaking news because it's not really totally breaking news, but now we're going into recruiting, talking about some new offers that came out in the last week. And one literally just happened, so I was typing up something on him. So that one, the one that just happened, literally, how long ago was this? 6 minutes ago. Evan Stewart, 2022 wide receiver out of Frisco Liberty, already a 4-star, so he's already pretty well known, made a pretty good name for himself already. Just explosive guy that can run. He's 6'1", 175. Already has offers from Auburn, Baylor, Florida, Kansas, Texas, SMU, Oklahoma. So,
and we offered him or what?
They just offered him. TCU just offered him. Yes.
Perfect.
TCU just offered him. So he's one of the guys that's got offers from pretty much everywhere. It looks like people are already saying Oklahoma this, Oklahoma that. So we'll see what happens there. We'll see what happens. Another guy that TCU offered that everyone else in the world has offered is Denver Harris, a 2022 cornerback out of Houston North Shore. He's already a 5-star guy at corner, 6'1", 185, literally LSU, Bama, everyone. If you can name a school, they've already offered him. So TCU just throwing their name in the hat. Again, he's probably going to go to LSU or Alabama.
Bummer.
But yeah, I mean, you never know.
Yeah,
maybe he'll be the first 5-star.
Yeah, you know, if he commits to us, he's getting a star taken away.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
He'll drop to a 4-star if he commits to TCU.
That's how 100%. It works.
Another 2022 wide receiver, Jordan Hudson, out of Garland. Not quite as much hype yet, but he's got some big offers. 6'1", 180, LSU, Arkansas, Arizona, Kansas, and Nebraska. Already out there for him. He's also a really good guy to watch on tape, too. More possession guy, good hands. So keep an eye out for there.
Deceptively fast,
if you want to say that. And then 2021, another receiver out of Oklahoma. This is more of the TCU mold of, here's a guy that no one knows about yet. No one's talking about this guy yet. Chase Jackson, 2021 receiver out of Choctaw, Oklahoma, 6'1", 170.
Choctaw.
TCU is the first Power 5 offer. I need to check and see if that is still the case or if something has changed on him. Because I wrote that note a couple days ago. Minnesota has since offered. So he's got New Mexico, Texas State, and Eastern Michigan.
Rode the boat.
On his radar. Rode the boat. But I think that's your typical TCU guy that, hey, no one's heard of this guy yet. So let's go ahead and get him an offer, and then he'll blow up here in the next couple weeks.
Make him an offer he can't refuse.
I hope so. I hope he doesn't refuse it.
That would be the best situation.
That's the quick recruiting news. I don't know if you've seen where the NCAA is allowing coaches to virtually coach.
Really?
Starting.
Oh, is that like the driveway drills that we're seeing?
Yeah, but that's kind of for everybody, right? So this is going to be, I think they're giving coaches, 8 hours to coach their team virtually?
Wow. I'm here
this,
for
this
it.
This past today. Gives coaches more virtual time with teams. It was 2 hours ago. So beginning Monday, May 31st, coaches can have 8 hours per week of virtual meetings and instruction with their players.
I like it.
So that's, I mean, well, for football, if you have 8 hours to spend throughout your whole week, that's
better than nothing, though.
It's better than nothing, but that is like 10 minutes per player. Like, if you have 100 plus players on your roster.
When you put it that way.
I'm just saying, it doesn't seem like a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, realistically, they would want for none of this to be happening and just have the guys there.
Well, yeah, have spring practice will be over by now.
Yeah.
We should have had the spring game last week. We should have had, would that have been last week? Would have been
Been 2 weeks ago. Yeah, I think it was at the end of March.
Been 2 weeks ago. Should have had pro days, but it
instead
is.
Instead, we got a video of Jalen Reagor on Twitter running a hand timed 4.2 something.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens to him. I think I still think he's going to go in the second round, but there's a chance. I mean, there's a chance he sneaks in that late first because it seems like I mean, we don't know anything yet. I'm really excited for this draft.
Oh, dude, it's going to be so fun. I mean, I always love the draft, but this year with everything being so weird and so many TCU players up at the top of the draft board, it's going to be very, very fun.
Yeah.
And I'm so here for a Jeff Gladney, Jalen Reagor, Cowboys back-to-back TCU pick.
Well, where do y'all pick in the second round?
Dude, I think we're in the teens. Yeah, 17-ish.
He'll probably be gone by then.
Yeah, yeah, almost certainly.
Probably. He'll probably be a top 10 pick in the second round.
But I would not be surprised if we took Gladney in the first round. I would love to see it.
It wouldn't surprise me because y'all are picking 17 or...
Picking around 17, I think. I'll look it up to make sure.
So a lot of mocks have Gladney going... I've seen him go 19 to the Raiders a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
But you were talking about there was a mock draft that came out that had... What, the Falcons trading up to get the C.J. Henderson kid?
There's a lot of talk about the Falcons might trade up to get C.J. Henderson, the cornerback from Florida.
Or something like that.
So, yeah.
And if that happens, that leaves y'all with a needed corner, and Gladney will probably be going around.
He'd be sitting right there. Might take a safety, too. But I would love, personally, I mean, I would rush out and buy a Gladney Cowboy jersey. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd be very, very pumped to see that. Because, to me, corner is the most glaring need on our defense. A defense that has multiple needs.
Yeah.
Corner is the most glaring one to me.
I think he'd be great with the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
He's great, obviously. He's also another guy that's a really good guy, too. Which, the character doesn't always matter with the Cowboys, it seems like. But he is a great character guy, too. So, Gladney. Could be fun to watch. I think he'll go the first round. I think he goes in the top 20. I think Blacklock goes somewhere in the 22 to 30 range.
Yeah, I think Gladney and Blacklock are first round picks.
Yep.
Rager's a high second. And then I think Lucas Niang falls somewhere in the third just because of his
third
injury.
Third or fourth. But then you also
he's going to be a steal for somebody.
Oh, he will be. Because he was, I mean, for a while he was great as the number one tackle in the country. About injuries and whatnot.
Cowboys pick 17th. And the Falcons actually have the 16th pick. So it'd be kind of funny. I don't know why they feel like... Yeah, I guess the Broncos have the pick immediately before them. So maybe if they're just worried about corner getting taken right before them. Or maybe by like the 49ers or something.
Yeah.
Or no, not 49ers. Who was that?
Well, the 49ers are in the... They're like 12 or 13 because they traded with the Colts.
Yeah. So, that's right. I was like, wait, was that the 49ers? How did I see that?
I think Rager will go early second. I pretty much agree with that nail on the head. But this is something I like to do, though. Give me, like, an exact team and pick you're going to get. I've only gotten one of these right ever, and it was Taio Fabulaje. Like, the exact round and pick that he went.
Okay.
Like, fourth round of the Bears or whatever.
Really?
I nailed that one that year, yeah. All right, so give me Rager. Where is he going to go?
Okay. Rager... is going to go. Let me look at this draft.
Yeah,
order
I gotta see who all has what picks and whatever and whatnot.
Rager's gonna go to the Giants.
Oh, at 36?
Yes.
I was gonna say that.
Yes.
Ah, dang.
We'll see if it happens. They're speaking to me right there.
Yeah, that's a good. I like that idea a lot.
And I would hate playing against him twice a year.
Yeah, right.
I would hate that.
I'll go if the Dolphins are gonna go get Tua, they need a weapon.
That's true.
I'll go Dolphins at 39.
All right. I was looking at the Dolphins too. There's a lot of teams in there that was like, oh, they have a need. They have a need.
Yeah, right. if you're picking that high, you have lots of needs.
Yes.
Giants 36. And we'll see if we have any of these right. Gladney.
Okay. Let's just hedge my bets. 17 to the Cowboys.
Go
yes.
All in, huh?
Just I'm gonna speak it into existence because that's what I want to happen.
Let's see.
We're taking these down so we can review them next week.
Yeah. So next week or the week after, whenever we all is done, we can look and say, "Ha, what an idiot!" Or "Wow, good job." Because this mock draft has him going 19 to the Raiders. I'll say 19 to the Raiders. That's what I've seen him on the.
I mean, I've seen that a lot too. He'd look good in black and silver.
He would. Most people do. Someone, USA Today, I think, had that as the number one jersey in all football.
It's a great uniform.
Yeah.
It's a classic, great uniform. Like we were saying last week, the bad NFL uniforms are few and far between. If you've got a classic look, usually it's a good one. And good on the Browns for going back to their old uniforms as well.
Yeah.
We've got all these Buccaneers, Browns. They're all going back to their old uniforms.
The Browns
that were
uniform
better.
Looks good.
The orange pants were so bad. They were so atrocious.
Oh, this mock draft has Rager going 30th to the Packers.
Oh. I could see him fitting in with the Packers.
The same mock has him there. Where does it have? This has Blacklock going second round, pick 3, to the Lions.
Mm.
I think he goes in the first round.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think he goes... I've seen a lot, and I'm a little surprised with this because I don't know how many teams do this back-to-back years. I've seen a lot of Seahawks taking him.
Yeah.
At 27.
Dude, Blacklock and Collier?
Right, yeah.
Like, sign me up for as a bandwagon.
But it's, Seahawks, no, man. To go with your Seattle Dragons or whatever you have. You get,
we got a lot of defensive linemen on Seattle pro football teams.
100%. So I'll say that one. Did you just pick a spot for
Blacklock? I think Blacklock? I see him with the Texans.
Okay.
That's where I see him.
Where do they pick?
Let me look here.
They pick real high, I think. Oh, no, they do? Don't have, they don't have a first round pick. That's right.
Never mind. I saw that. I was confused. Let me look back here because I do think he will go first round.
Let's see. Does this have the Cowboys making a trade? It says the Cowboys taking a trade. Jaguars at 20, Eagles at 21. This has y'all at 22 for some reason, trading with the Vikings.
This mock draft Vikings that I just looked up has Gladney going to the Seahawks at 27.
There you go. Patriots at 23, Saints 24, Vikings 25, Dolphins 26, Seahawks 27, Ravens 28, Titans 29, Packers 30, Niners 31. And when the Niners just traded away Buckner?
Yeah.
So maybe Blacklock at 31 to the Niners isn't a bad idea?
Maybe. I could maybe see him at the Packers too. And Packers have a low pick there. I think he's a low first round guy. Yeah, I'm going to go Packers, actually. All
right. Niang. At this point, we don't know who really has.
Yeah, third round.
Trades will go up and down.
Yeah.
So we're going to say third round.
Shoot, who needs a tackle?
Everybody. Everyone needs a tackle. That's kind of.
Yeah. I feel like I just need to play roulette here and just pull someone out of a hat. Let's just go. I got a 1 in 32 chance, right?
Pretty much.
Let's go Broncos.
Ooh.
Somewhere in the middle of the third
round. Go be with Schlottman?
Yeah. Slotman?
That's your say. I'll go third round. I'm going to go Lions.
Okay.
For some reason.
Yeah.
This just popped in my head. No idea why.
Hey, well, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, right? Cordell.
Okay, Cordell Nwankwo. He's going to the... He's going to go in the fifth round
okay.
to the Carolina Panthers.
Interesting.
I have no rhyme or reason for that.
Yeah, I mean, we're just shooting fish in a barrel, if you will. I'll go fourth round.
Sounds of fish, people of the barrel.
I'll go fish fourth round. Who needs line help? Buccaneers.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
Buccaneers. I don't know if they have a fourth round pick. We're just... If we get the team right, I'll take it. So, yeah.
I mean, it worked for Teo, so.
Right? No, actually, that one, they didn't trade the pick. I got that one exactly right. I went and picked the number and everything, and they didn't trade the pick. All right, so we have Darius and Shewo.
Shewo is going to the Steelers in the sixth round. I feel very strongly about that.
I saw you know something.
Well, he just, because I saw a mock somewhere about that, and I was like, man, he... looks like, I mean, I hate the Steelers, but he looks like he belongs in a Steelers uniform. Like, and he's just like that big bruising back. It just feels so much their style. I do think he's going to be a sixth round guy, and I think he's going to have a very productive pro career. I just feel Steelers for some reason.
I feel like he's an ex Marshawn Lynch.
Wow.
I'll go Seahawks.
I would much prefer that.
I'll go sixth round Seahawks. He's become bandwagon Seahawks fan.
Dude, if the Seahawks have Blacklock, LJ Collier, and Shewo. Like, come on, man.
And Joey is...
if only Joey they Hunt? Still had Trey. Joey yeah, Hunt? And Joey. Oh, my
yep.
God.
Yep.
It's like TCU Northwest.
All right, Darius. You think Darius gets drafted?
Yes, Darius will go in the seventh round. Someone's going to take a flyer on him. Who's a good pick? I feel like... Ooh. Do the Saints... I mean, Kamara's in his last year of his contract. Kamara's in his
last year. I don't hate that idea.
Yeah, Kamara's in the last year of his contract. Mark Ingram's not there anymore, right? Yep,
nope, he's gone.
Yeah, maybe the Saints.
Yep, they have Latavius Murray in there, but that's he's an older guy.
Yeah,
I say old by running back. He's
and,
like 26.
You know, they want a guy. Darius is a guy who can be out. That scat back and get out and catch passes. I like it.
I'll sign up for that right now. I'm saying seventh round Titans.
Okay, yeah, I can see that too.
To mix up the pace to Derrick Henry and also I can see that too. A change of pace guy, or also maybe the next guy after Derrick
Henry. Friend of the podcast, Cam Cunningham, would be very pleased if he went to the Titans.
There you go. All right, Twitter questions. Got any, anything else gets drafted? I think that's pretty much everyone, right? Julius Lewis, maybe.
I think he'll get invited to camp.
He'll go to a camp.
Yeah, and Ennis Gaines will go to a camp.
Lewis, Gaines. There's got to be one more. I'm sure Song gets invited to a camp because he was like the second best kicker in college football.
Yeah,
this year. There's one more because I remember saying, I had McKinney. I don't. He'll be a camp.
He'll go to camp because he's gigantic. Yeah. But I mean,
Yeah. Those are the guys I'd said before the year. Again, we're gonna be having at least six guys drafted. I said 10, but.
Hey, like we said, it's pretty incredible when you have more guys drafted than your win total.
Yep, that's
something to hang your hat on.
It is something. It's good for recruiting and nothing else. Yep. Maybe, possibly. All right, Twitter questions. TCU football plays the seven teams they lost to this year in seven straight weeks.
Love it.
According to Will Taylor, in seven straight weeks, TCU will play the seven teams they lost to last year in the revenge tour. Will the Frogs achieve a winning record?
Let me pull up the schedule.
So it is, they go Oklahoma State, West Virginia, Kansas State, it's SMU, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, Kansas State, Baylor, Oklahoma, Iowa State.
All right, I need to be looking at this because that's hard to internalize. So
SMU, one, dub.
Yeah, SMU's a win.
OK State, loss.
They're going to be really
good. They're my pick to win the Big 12
next. They're going
to
be really good. Yeah, okay. So, just conservatively, Oklahoma State lost, yes.
At West Virginia?
I think they beat West Virginia because West Virginia is... They're still a work in progress.
Yeah, they won here last year.
Yeah.
In some bad weather, and also we just weren't any good.
But, I mean...
But I think they can... I think it's a winnable game.
Yeah.
I think it's a winnable game.
For we haven't lost to West Virginia in consecutive seasons, and they're not that great. So I think that's a win.
We tend to play better at West Virginia for whatever reason.
We'll beat Kansas State at home. That's three. Yep. We'll beat Baylor because I refuse to say anything else.
Yep. Oklahoma on Halloween?
Ooh.
And those All Blacks is going to win this whole breakfast challenge?
You know we're going to wear those.
They're going to wear the red ones that played against Texas last year.
They probably will. Ugh, gross. But, oh, man. Dude,
they can win that one, Spencer Rattler.
My gosh. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say we can beat Oklahoma at home with Spencer Rattler on a Halloween night. I want that win, yes. I think we can get that one.
I think they can, and then Iowa State.
They'll probably lose to Iowa State.
Of course they will. Probably. So I think they can win five of these games.
So we're talking 5-2. I mean, conservatively.
If you go conservatively 4-3,
yes.
If they go 4-3 or 5-2, I'll take that, right?
Yeah.
Now. But
yeah.
Let's see.
I'm more concerned about going to Texas after Iowa State.
Yeah. Jeff Craig, old friend of the show. Where do you see Blacklock, Rager, Gladney, and Yang going in the draft? We just answered that. Rewind a couple seconds.
Ask and you shall receive.
Who will be the first drafted? I think we both landed on Gladney going.
I think Gladney. Yeah, I think no matter how you slice it, Gladney will go first.
And who will have the longest career? I think Blacklock.
Yeah, Russ Blacklock.
Because I think the way he's slimmed up, he's looking at him, he reminds me of Aaron Donald now. He 100% reminds me of Aaron Donald.
He's so athletic for a tackle.
Like with the frame. I'm not going to say
he's got such a great frame.
But he's... It's
well, his style is similar in that he is trim. He's not just a space eater because he's fat. He's a gigantic person, and he's very muscular, very athletic. And, you know, if you're a good tackle, you can have some staying power in the league. I mean, you know, running backs aren't going to last long.
Defensive tackles tend to last a while.
Yeah.
So it's not a position that gets turned over really easily. So
yes.
I will say Blacklock has the longest career.
Yep, I agree.
All right, B. Banks.
He's also young. He's him and Rager are the two youngest. Yeah,
in the whole draft.
Well, of our guys.
Well, yeah, they're both juniors.
Yeah, so that he has an extra year going for him as is.
Brian Banks, B. Banks, 21-21. Thoughts on this? And he sent the tweet about the NCAA is currently the top trending topic in the United States because they're getting bashed as two top hoops prospect decide to skip the college and go straight to the G League. As part of their new pathway program that offers them $500K a year and a full scholarship.
Oh man! Well,
I think it's great for the
good for them. Yeah,
it's good for the kids. It's good for the NBA. It's good for it's not good for college basketball per se, but
what is the NCAA supposed to do about that?
No, for some of these kids, it's a pay cut.
Yeah,
that's like, true. Like the sad thing is, it's a pay cut for some of these kids.
You think really like. You think Kentucky is paying kids more than $500,000 a year?
I don't know about more than $500,000
a year. Yeah, because that's a lot.
One-time payment, probably.
Okay, but this is talking about a yearly salary in addition to a college tuition.
There is a recording of Kansas coaches offering Zion a house, Zion's family a house, and they somehow didn't get in trouble for it. And somehow he went to Duke out of the kindness of his heart. Like, I don't. You mean to tell me he didn't get anything to go to Duke?
Hey, you got a great education there.
Yeah, right. So, one semester.
Yeah.
He's not going to classes in the spring.
No.
0% chance.
Heck no.
So, I think it's good for the kids. It's good for the NBA. It sucks for college basketball.
Yeah, but, one and done.
None of these kids are going to come here anyway.
Yeah, so. One and done isn't good for college basketball either, I don't think.
I think they should change it to a two and through.
Yeah. Two and through. It still rhymes.
Yeah, it does rhyme. It's got to rhyme. Two and then you're through.
Yeah, but then again, like, who is going to want to commit to 2 years if the G League is willing to pay them $500K year?
Well, baseball,
it's plus either, a scholarship for whenever they want to go to college.
Yeah, baseball, it's either it's out of high school or 3 years.
Which, again, is – but also, if you're going on a minor league contract, you're making
nothing.
Peanuts.
Yeah.
Whereas
Lester Lodolo was getting $1 million that first
year. Yeah, whereas, you know, if you're playing college baseball, besides the experience and the development and all that stuff, you're getting at least some of your school paid for, you know. And
I think this is a wave of the future. I think the NCAA is starting to wiggle room with the whole using your likeness thing.
Yeah.
I think that's – because why can't these kids be quote-unquote models, right, and be paid for their appearance and be paid to go to places and stuff like that? I don't get why that's not a thing already.
Yeah, because that's literally – that's their own earning potential. Yeah. That's not you're shifting the odds in order to get them to come to your school. There's no cheating involved in that. That's just being paid for – something that you've earned
for your likeness and your appearance.
Yeah,
and like,
and it lets us all get NCAA football back.
But,
so
yeah, but the kicker there is, at Auburn they're willing to pay me $500,000 a year to go be at this car shop on once every other Saturday or whatever, and SMU is offering me $100,000 to go to this or Alabama. I mean, the system's going to be all kinds of. It's already messed up.
It already
this
is.
This stuff's already happening. If you don't know this is happening, you're dumb. But it's
you know, I saw a discussion about how the coronavirus and quarantines is negatively impacting bag men.
Oh yeah, sure it is.
And like, what are we doing? Cryptocurrency now?
Right.
Like
Bitcoin?
We can't drop off payments.
No,
or
it's
anything.
True. So I saw Ole Miss is going to take a pay cut to help help their school.
Like, yes, their players.
Yeah. B Banks, last couple questions here. What's the best board game?
Ooh, that's tough. There's a lot of good board games out there. My wife is awesome at Clue. She's really, really good at Clue.
Speaking of Clue, I watched Knives Out the other day.
Yeah,
great movie.
Oh, okay.
It's a great movie.
I'm not a Rian Johnson fan, so that's...
No, this one's great, though.
Okay.
Yeah. It's I mean,
good to know.
It's a lot of... I mean, you've seen who's in the movie, right?
Yes, it's like an all-star famous cast.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
He whose round head shall not be mentioned, Rian Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
But. Well, you know, if we're just talking about tabletop games, I mean, I love Dungeons & Dragons. Wow. You're looking across the table at a Dungeon Master, and... you should be very jealous.
My brother's not here. What are you talking about? My brother and sister play that together.
Dude, it's so fun. If you haven't played it, find somebody who is a good Dungeon Master and try it, because it's just really fun. It's just adult make-believe.
As a person who's played fantasy
storytelling,
as a person who's played fantasy football and baseball for the last 15-plus years, I can see where it could be fun.
Mm.
I'm still not going to do it.
It's like, have you ever played a role-playing video game like Knights of the Old Republic or
I'm big Final
Fable?
Fantasy. I'm a big Final Fantasy guy.
Final Fantasy, okay, yeah. So it's same concept. Like, you become this character, you're going on an adventure, you make whatever decision you want to make, you roll to see if it was successful, essentially, and then the story evolves from there.
Again, I see where it can be fun.
Yeah.
I'm not going to dog it. I'm not going to play it either.
That's fine. You're going to be missing out.
I'm not going to dog it. Probably. Monopoly, I like. I'm a bit, I like Risk.
Monopoly,
I like
Risk. Oh, I love Risk.
Yeah, right?
Risk is a great game. Another game, I cannot even begin to tell you what it was called, but I had it. It was like a Star Wars game where you could, and it was a board game, where you could be any Star Wars character and you like battled.
Yeah.
So it was like a Star Wars character and their sidekick, and they each had their own stats and attacks, and you like drew cards to determine like special things that you could do, and you move around the board and attack each other. And so it was really fun. But I can't remember what it was called.
Brian Banks is, I think he's a big movie guy. Give me your thoughts on Knives Out. I expect to get a tweet when the next, is it hour 13 in? So in the next 2 hours, I expect to get a tweet from Brian Banks telling me what he thinks of the movie Knives Out.
Okay.
What's the best cereal?
Ooh, man, that's another tough one. I love Honey Smacks. I love Honey Smacks. Diggums, the frog. Honey's, I never don't like Honey Smacks. I love Cap'n Crunch and Frosted Flakes and Honey Nut Cheerios. There's lots of good cereals out there. Corn Pops. But to me, Honey Smacks,
I think, is the go. I wasn't ready to hear Honey Smacks.
People sleep on Honey Smacks.
I don't think I've ever had Honey Smacks.
There's always one box of them in the cereal aisle. It's hidden among all the noise. How is there just one noise?
Box? No one else is buying them.
Well, you know, one row of boxes. Oh, okay. One, like...
one dusty row.
Well, and not like horizontal row, like descending back into the... And you look for the frog, because, I mean, come on. We love frogs.
Go frogs,
yep. Go frogs. And Honey Smacks, they're super good, man. You put some milk on those things. That's the bomb. But Cap'n Crunch is probably a close second for me.
I like Cap'n Crunch. I'll probably say Frosted Flakes is my favorite.
Frosted Flakes are good. Me and my wife always stay stocked with the Frosted Flakes and the Honey Nut Cheerios.
Fun fact, I'm a weirdo that only likes dry cereal. I don't like it.
Really?
Like, yeah, except for Frosted Flakes. That's the one I'll put milk on.
Yeah, man. Because that milk gets sweet and delicious.
Yeah, right? But I'm a total
Do you not
weirdo.
Like Cocoa Puffs with milk?
Nope.
You don't like chocolate milk?
No, not really.
What?
Not really.
What? Nope. That is a take.
That's a hot take. You see these lists of things people that are putting up there? 10 things that I like that I don't like that everyone else loves? Chocolate milk would go on my
God.
So would ranch dressing, though, and cheesecake.
What?
I don't like any of those things. What? I don't drink coffee.
My wife could drink ranch dressing, honestly. She loves
Most of my
ranch
friends
dressing.
Can. I cannot.
Wow, it's man. Disgusting. Wow.
There's four straight hot takes right there, by the way.
Yes.
Dry cereal.
You've left me stunned.
No coffee. No cheesecake.
Now, I'm not into coffee either.
Okay.
Yeah, so that makes two of us. But I do love coffee. I love chocolate milk.
I'll get a hankering for like once a year, and I'll literally go to a gas station and get like a little pint of it and drink and go, that's enough for the year. I'm good.
Did you shake it, though?
Yeah, probably. It's been at least a year since I've had it. I'm due.
Yeah, you're due. You should give it another chance.
What's the best Tom Cruise film?
I
think it's the one I mentioned earlier in the show.
Top Gun? I'm not that into Top Gun.
What?
Yeah, that's another hot take. I don't know. It's a little, I consider myself a patriotic person, but I don't know. It just is a little, it's not the right type of cheesy. It's a little homoerotic for me, too. It's lots of like.
Nothing wrong with that.
But, you know what? I think Jerry Maguire is my favorite.
I was about to say Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Maguire, and then I think another underrated one is. There was one
Did
that he was in.
Mission Impossibles?
I haven't seen any Mission Impossible movies.
The first one is great. That's the only one I've seen. I loved it. I should do that over quarantine. Watch the rest of these movies.
Yeah, and one that was underrated was he was in one with Nicole Kidman. I can't remember, but
I think
was like
he's in a bunch of movies with Nicole Kidman.
Well, yeah, because they were like married for a hot second.
Weren't they like on a cruise or on an island or whatever? Is that the one?
I'm thinking of the one where they go to Oklahoma. They're like settlers that go to Oklahoma in the land rush. Far and Away, maybe.
Oh, I don't know.
But it was surprisingly good. It was one that I was like, oh, I'd never even heard of this one, and I watched it, and it was pretty good.
He's in a bunch of movies now.
He's in a lot of movies.
I mean, he's one of those.
He is a movie star.
Oh, I say that, but I.
Rain Man's a good one.
I always say Rain Man's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Really?
Yeah, Rain Man's one of my favorite movies of all time.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, so I'd say that, but I'll go Top Gun because it's fun. Underrated. I saw this
Highway
the other day.
Highway to the
Danger
Zone. Kenny
Loggins, baby. He's the director in Tropic Thunder. Have you seen that?
Yes. Yeah. the balding guy.
I love that movie. It could not be made today.
Dude, I didn't see Tropic Thunder when it came out, and I went back and watched it a couple years ago.
Within the last 2 or 3 years?
Within the last 2 or 3 years, okay. Yeah. And I'm not a person who gets offended by things. Okay, like, if you have a comic mind, like, you can't.
Yeah.
It kills comedy. And I don't consider myself overtly politically correct, but I just didn't find it that entertaining. I didn't find it that funny. Yeah.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
I mean, it's like absurd on great. Its face. But
it's Robert Downey Jr.
But, and yeah,
face, which you can't do that today.
No. You absolutely could not.
Oh, he's saying that it's back. It's. Oh, that was made in 2009, I think. It wasn't that long
ago. Like 8 or 9, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, he's playing a guy who's playing a guy in blackface.
Yeah, yeah. So, that's how
so it's not necessarily, yeah. It's not just Al Jolson. Yeah, it's not just Al Jolson out there. It's like, there's layers to it. But yeah, still, could not get made today.
You also can't have Ben Stiller's character anymore.
Yes, or the simple...
Simple
Simon.
Simple Jack,
or Simple Jack, yeah.
You can't go full R-word. You can't say that anymore.
Yeah.
See, I haven't went too far.
My favorite Ben Stiller movie is Dodgeball. I love Dodgeball. I love Dodgeball.
That or Heavyweights is a fat kid.
Yes, Heavyweights is a good one.
Did kids bully me to go watching that as one of their birthday parties? Of course they did.
Oh.
It is what it is. I'm not a soft millennial. It's fine.
Yeah. Us millennials have become hardened by small paychecks and
by two once-in-a-lifetime economic disasters.
Yes. Yeah, stop just referring to young people as millennials. The problem people are Gen Z, who are voting for all black uniforms over the bloodlines.
I had a lady the other day, I saved the day at the gym, you know, this is months ago now, at the gym. She was getting out of me for being on a machine too long. I'm very strong, I lift a lot of weight. She goes, you people, I go, what do you mean you people? She goes, you kids. I go, how old do you think I am? I go, she goes, 30. I go, who blames things on 30-year-olds?
Yeah.
Like, no one. I'm 33, but no one blames things on 30-year-olds. It doesn't happen. It's never happened in human history. It blew my mind.
Yeah.
Anyway, Clint, promote something.
Follow me on Twitter, @Clint_Foster55, and vote in our bracket, because we cannot have any more disasters like this bloodline situation. We need the truth to be revealed.
We need Rose Bowl to keep going.
Yes.
@BillyWessels, @TC_Rivals. Talk to you guys next week. We'll probably go... Friday or Saturday, based on how the draft goes. Yep. So we can get all of that in there.
So look out for us.
Talk to y'all then.